All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming. This is the data governance in Office 365. If you're here for archiving, retention, data governance, data management, all of those buzzwords, you're in the right place. My name is Deepak. I'm a program manager in the information protection team. I also have Julian and Raman with me right now. They will help answer your other engineering questions and all questions related to money. We've also got a lot of other people from Microsoft, all the people who've worked on this. Sanjay as well, he couldn't make it here, but I had to put his name up there because you need to know that we have the last name, but we're not brothers. And a little bit about myself. I've been in the information protection team working on archiving and retention for the past 5 years. How many of you attended my session last year? Oh, good. All right. Do you guys remember what I did? I also had a long beard last year, and I like climbing mountains. So I put this photo up, a different photo up last year, but this year, there. This was the favorite photo I took this year. I actually took that photo. The reason I'm putting that up is because it gives me confidence. If I can do that, I can do this talk. So, all right. What can I help you with today? If you have data outside of Office 365 and you want to manage it, we will help you bring it in. How do you preserve the data that is important for you? How do you delete the data that is not important for you? And how do you classify your data so that these preserve and delete actions can happen, and a host of other actions as well? So the thing that I'm not going to be talking about is any form of e-discovery related stuff, because we have Rocky here who has a specific session on that. And he'll go into the deep details of how Office 365 eDiscovery works. And the other thing that I'm not talking about is auditing and alerting, because I have Binyan here, who also has a session later during the week where he'll cover those particular topics. All right. A little bit of a question-answer session with the audience. Anyone wants to take a shot at what are the biggest problems that you guys face, at least? Any volunteers? Anyone? No? All right, there you go. Yeah?
I have 10 questions of the same topic.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you. Yeah?
Can you search from multiple sources?
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, that was perfect. Data in multiple places. You have so much data right now. You have so many different workloads, and you need to pull data from all these places, make sure that your data is covered in all these places. This is a very, very difficult thing to do. Along with all that data in multiple places, you also have the expense of managing all these, managing licenses for multiple solutions. The third problem that I've heard most commonly is I want it to be intuitive. I want it to be easy for my admins to manage. Also, I don't want it to be difficult for my end users because I'm enforcing what is called compliance to meet regulations and standards. So these are the things that drive us. This is the vision that, you know, the vision for us is to solve these problems. And that's why we've gone after what we've called Office 365 archiving solution in all the past Ignite and TechEd conferences that you've been to. But right now, we're calling it data governance because we realize that it is a bigger problem than, you know, just archiving email. We want to cover all of Office 365. That means email, documents, anything that comes into 365, we want to make sure that the protection actions, the governance actions are enforced across all of it. All right, for some of the folks in the audience who need to go back to their CEOs, who need to say, hey, this is why you know, we need to enforce Office 365 archiving, here are some of the stats. Volume is increasing, everybody's heard that. Managing data is challenging because you've got so many of these sources. Cool animations. 50% year-over-year growth. I think other ways of saying it is 2x growth every year, et cetera, et cetera. So everyone knows that there's a lot of data to manage. Governing data for all practical purposes is necessary because one of the things that helps you do is it helps you become more productive. You've got data all over the place, but you need to be able to search for it, you need to be able to find it, and use it in the context of which it needs to be used. You also have a lot of regulated industries for which standards, maintaining standards, complying with laws is really important. And then finally, you have the whole data leakage problem where people either inadvertently, in most cases, send data out where they're not supposed to. So for all these scenarios, you do need some form of data governance. One of the things we've heard from our customers is this is a classic scenario where, in the case of litigation, they're required to protect and preserve all the information so that when there is a litigation request, they're able to give that information and produce it at a good time. And these people have been using Office 365, and they're really happy with it. The stuff that I want to show you today, I'm hoping will make you happier. So we'll take a look. All right, how does Office 365 archiving actually work? More data. Give me one sec. Yes. Go through this really quickly, but what you basically have here is if you don't have data governance, then you're going to be suffering from incidents. That's the message that we want to send over here. And we've heard from multiple customers that this is true. Whether you're in a regulated industry or not, it is important to have some sort of a classification, some sort of a protection and governance solution, a policy that manages data in your organization. All right, getting into the meat of it. Office 365 archiving is basically saying wherever you have your data, whether it's on-prem, in file shares, third-party archives, we will help you bring it into Office 365. Last year, we announced the launch of what we call the Office 365 import solution. How many of you have heard about that solution? How many of you have used it? Oh, good. Thank you. We are seeing an incredible amount of traffic, both from using the Office 365 import solution, where you can either do it network upload or you can actually load all the data into a drive and ship it. But what we're also hearing from our partners, and our partners have been incredibly helpful, they've been incredibly supportive in helping bring more data into Office 365. People are moving data in loads. I can give you some numbers, but it's in the order of petabytes of data. So people believe the Office 365 archiving story. People are moving. They want to put all their data in one place, and the move to the cloud is becoming more and more inevitable for customers. Along with this, we also introduced last year what is called third-party data archiving from social networks, Bloomberg, Thomson Reuters, all sorts of IM solutions that are still classified as communication, which means any communication needs to be covered by policy. So that is one of the rules of SEC 17A4. If you are in the financial industry, one of the things that you absolutely need is compliance with SEC 17A4. And this was an integral part of it. The other thing that Microsoft has been talked about in the past few years from our competition is basically saying Microsoft is not SEC 17A4 compliant. That is no longer true. We have a white paper published last year which certified Exchange Online as fully SEC 17A4 certified. I'll pull up that particular white paper at the end of it to show you guys what that looks like. Later on during this year, what we're also going to be announcing is Office 365 as a whole, which means SharePoint, OneDrive, Modern Groups, Skype for Business, all the workloads that are part of Office 365 are also SEC 17A4 compliant. And so if you are in a regulated industry, you don't have to worry about using Office 365 as your archiving solution, as your data governance solution. So you've brought your data in. Now, if you notice, what about all the data that's being created as part of Office 365? You've got people sending emails from your organization to other organizations and within organization. You've got people creating what is called documents in SharePoint and OneDrive. Traditional third-party archiving solutions, what they did was if you did email, if I send an email to Julian, they will take a copy of it and put it in a third-party solution. Now, on the third-party archive, which is a separate storage, you're paying for separate storage, you're paying for add-ons in Outlook, You're doing all sorts of things to manage two different workloads. Your users aren't able to actually get to the data they want because they depend on those add-ons. That traditional archiving way is not how Microsoft does it. We do what is called in-place archiving. What that means is we don't make copies. Wherever the data is created, wherever the data is being collaborated on, wherever content is being created, we apply the policy, which means you don't need a separate store, which means there are no two things that you need to manage. It's cheaper, it's easier to manage from a licensing standpoint, and a bunch of other features that you get as part of doing it in place. Anybody has any questions over, you know, our in-place strategy, please do ask me questions in the end. I'll be happy to answer them. The last part of this is the e-discovery part. You've got all your data, you've got a policy, and then this data now, when needed, needs to be produced from litigation cases. So if you look at our e-discovery flow, what we have in Office 365, you've got this preservation feature. You've got all this data, now you do a search. And then finally, when you get the results of the search, you do an analysis, and then you do a review. And by the time you're done with review, you've landed up with a very, very small amount of data. And Microsoft right now has a solution to do the whole thing end-to-end. So wherever your data is, we can help you bring it in. We will help you preserve the data where it's needed. We will help you run the e-discovery. We will help you export it. And we will help you save money during review. And to know more about the advanced e-discovery stuff, you should attend Raki's session, where he talks about the integration with the Equivio technology. Finally, the last part over here, which is the auditing part, wherever data is created, wherever people make changes to their admin settings, I create a document, I share a document, I classify a document, I apply a policy on a document, every action in Office 365 is audited, and it is made available through what is called the Management Activity API, on which some of our partners have built stuff. And we also make it available through what is called the Security and Compliance Center Activity Report. But along with that, we also have the ability to build insights on top of what we built on the auditing platform. This means that stuff like if somebody's sharing data outside when they're not supposed to be, you know, sharing it, you can set up alerts. So the alerting mechanism, the insights, all that intelligence is built based on what we've built in the auditing pipeline. So the benefits of in place, I want to call this out because this is what traditional archiving solutions can never provide. Because there's only one source of data, we're not making any copies. There's no moving of data, which means you don't have to worry about chain of custody. If you have a third-party archiving solution, you have a third-party archive for your documents, you're taking data out, moving it somewhere, you got to keep track, you got to keep making sure that, you know, the data is not lost in transit. And when you need it, when you're in litigation scenarios, you need to provide the chain of custody. Because we keep it in place, we don't have to actually worry about any of those problems. It's instantly indexed. If you consider a third-party archiving solution, the data, when it's being created in Exchange, for example, it's not yet available in your third-party solution. So your e-discovery searches aren't able to do it instantly. This one's the most important thing, according to me, because all the stuff that you've been hearing about, you know, Office, Delve, the intelligent graph, everything, TAP, the stuff that you've been, that Satya demoed yesterday, all of those work because we keep the data in the Microsoft cloud, and we keep the data in the Microsoft ecosystem, so we're able to bring you that intelligence. If you go keep it in another solution, we're not able to give you that intelligence. The second part of this is, how many of you attended Carissa's session earlier today, where we talked about insights and alerts and recommendations based on industry and vertical? Anybody? Yeah. So for those who did not attend, a really quick primer on what we showed today was, and I'll show you a little bit of that in the demo as well, is we're able to look at what industry you're in, we're able to look at which country you're in, which state you are in, how many people are there in your organization, and build a, and based on what you've told us, of course, and based on that, we look at what other people like you, similar to Amazon recommendations, based on what other people like you have created, we will help you create policies for you. And it is a really, really powerful concept because most of the organizations that we work with, I know you guys are here, but we have tons of organizations who call people like Angela who are back there in support, and they keep asking us, how do I set up the policy? What's the first thing I need to do? I don't know where to start. And for all those people, we will help them create the policies. One clicks, recommendations, easy ways to create policies, really intuitive, and I'll show you some of that. But all of that is possible only because the data is in place. Finally, the auditing part. You don't have to worry about what people did in two places. Because it's all audited, you have full control over, you know, the data and full control over what happens to the data. Right, I think I already talked about that. Okay, so now I've told you a little bit about all the stuff that we've built. Now this is the stuff that is exciting for me. This is what I'll be showing you in the demo. Intelligent import, we took what we had in the import service and we're making it a little better and I'll show you what that is. We're also doing a lot of work around changing the way we've done retention. Traditionally, retention has always been, if you had a third-party archiving solution, you would go set a retention policy on that particular third-party archive. Can somebody tell me, like, give me a clear definition of what retention is? Anyone? Yeah? Perfect. You got it. It's the and dispose of it, right? You don't need it, get rid of it, but when you need it, you need to keep it. But that part, Microsoft has traditionally, and I have to apologize for this, we kind of confuse people with the terminology that we used. We used to call this hold, in-place hold, litigation hold. I'm finally putting that to rest today. It's not going to be called hold anymore. It's true retention, and what retention we've built does what he just said, which is preserve it and then delete it. Preserve it when you need it, delete it after. Do it all in one flow. You don't need to do two things, three things, five things. That's one part of it. The second part of it is you do it all in one place in Office 365. You don't have to go to Exchange Admin Center to do Exchange. You don't have to go to SharePoint to do SharePoint. This place to do OneDrive. Not anymore. You do everything in the Security and Compliance Center. So that's what I call true retention. Records management, again. If you think about it, we have a rudimentary version of it in SharePoint where we first launched the record center and then we said in-place records. Again, really, really not complete when it comes to from a records manager standpoint, but I'll show you more about the investments that we've made over there. The insights and the SEC 17A4 papers I talked about. We're also investing in supervisory review. How many people from the financial industry here today? Okay, you guys know what supervisory review is. It is something that is absolutely necessary for managers to make sure that, you know, people don't disobey the SEC rules. So they keep a tab on the employees and make sure stuff like insider trading doesn't happen. It's a really, really powerful concept that can be used for investigation as well. And finally, the classification part. And this is the part that I'm really excited about, because traditionally what we've done with retention is that we've said, hey, you go and apply a policy on a set of things. It's the container that you apply the policy on, but we're actually not paying attention to the type of data, to the content that is actually being preserved or deleted. Starting now, we can actually do stuff like the sensitive types that you create in DLP. Document fingerprints, forms, templates, all those things are now understood by the retention workflow, which means you can create templates and say, anything that matches this template, go apply this retention policy. Really, really powerful. We believe that that's going to It's going to change the way people do retention in Office 365. All right, lots of talking, so let me go into the demo immediately now. Hopefully everything works. And during the demo, feel free to stop me and ask me any questions if you have any questions. All right. Okay. For the folks who didn't attend the session this morning, this is the new Security and Compliance Center. If you see here, this is what is called the Data Governance Dashboard. And within the dashboard, if you see here, we show you stuff like, what is the data that you have? How is it split up? So you've got, you know, a few terabytes of email, you've got more terabytes of documents, kind of give you a view of what data you have. Previously, it's always been opaque. You really don't know what kind of data you have, but now we give you this view, and we'll be providing more views like this, where we'll actually show you, you know, how stuff is divvied up in SharePoint sites and OneDrives, in people's mailboxes, other types of data as well. If you see here, I've also got some Twitter and Yammer content, more Skype conversations. All of that stuff, we actually give you insight into what data you actually have in your organization. And for the person who comes in for the first time, again, we show you stuff like how many of your users are covered by a retention policy, how many users have extra storage available. Now, I forgot to mention storage. And just give me a minute while I bring that up. The traditional archiving solutions, like I said, they take the data out and put it somewhere else. So one of the reasons they did that was because Exchange traditionally did not support very large mailboxes. SharePoint has not supported very large sites. But over the years, we've made so many new investments in the storage technology in 365. Today, we support unlimited archive mailboxes, and I literally mean unlimited archive, which means you can put as much data as you want per user in Exchange, and if you have a 30-year preservation policy, then you can actually, you know, you don't have to worry about the data or your storage container ever running out of space. Within SharePoint and OneDrive as well, we've made a lot of investments in storage. Today, I believe SharePoint has a 5-terabyte site collection limit, and OneDrive, again, is a 5-terabyte collection, OneDrive site. And we'll only be increasing that more and more as we go. So scalable storage is something that's worked as part of the platform itself, and we've made a tremendous amount of investment to support this in-place story that we have. All right. Let me start with the workflow. So as I mentioned earlier, there's a person here, Rob, the tenant admin. He wants to do import from a third-party archiving solution. So he's shipped a bunch of drives to Office 365. The drives show up. And now what we have today is what's called a smart import. Now, again, over here, if you see, one of the things we do is based on the stuff that we know about you, we recommend that you shouldn't be keeping all the data that's coming in because it's risky. So right there, at the import step itself, we're helping you dispose of data that you don't need. So I want to go filter my data. And if you see here, if I say keep the data for only the data that's less than 4 years old, I end up with 20 gigs of email, 5 gigs of instant messages. But then if I say I only want to keep 2 years' worth of data, which in most cases should be enough, the graph immediately changes. So based on the policy in your organization, you can right there at the import step figure out what's the data that you need to bring in, and so that you don't avoid any legal risk, or you avoid any legal risk of bringing in the data. The other things you can do over here, you can filter by age, like I showed you, but you can also filter by type. In some, you know, some regulated industries, we've heard that instant messages, for example, they shouldn't be brought in. And so we give you a really easy way to just cut that out during the import process, so you don't have to worry about that later. You can also say only bring in data for a certain set of users and not everybody. Users who've left the organization, you don't have to bring that in. Talking about users who've left your organization, How many of you use third-party archiving solutions today? And do you guys you have to pay for the users who've no longer in your organization because the data is still there, and you pay per storage. In Office 365, we have this concept of the inactive user, which means if a user leaves your organization, we will still continue to preserve their data. We will continue to dispose of the data as it passes the time, but then you're not actually paying for it. So this is a concept that we've had in Office 365 for a few years now. It's a really powerful concept and one of the big reasons why people are actually moving from third-party archiving solutions, because storage is expensive in those third-party archiving solutions. Now, when you're bringing in data over here, again, you can actually say, hey, this user has left the organization, but I still want to bring in data because he's got a bunch of PSTs. We do support that today. So you can bring in data for your live users as well as your inactive users. All right, so I've made a decision. I want to hit import over here. And then what happens is the data gets imported. Again, we've made a bunch of investments last year into the parallelization of bringing the data in, so which means data flow into Office 365 is much faster. All right, the next step, you've brought your data in. Now you want to create a retention policy. Now, for your traditional compliance solutions, again, what I mentioned earlier was this third-party archiving solution, you would go and set a retention policy, 7-year policy, let's say. What that means is when data comes in, from that point onwards, we start counting the 7 years. And then for those 7 years, nobody can get rid of that data. Once those 7 years are up, that third-party archiving solution gets rid of it. Now, imagine that exact same concept in Office 365. Let me show you what the retention workflow looks like. And I'm really excited by this because this is something that I've been wanting to do for a really, really long time. Tony will know. He's been watching me do this for 5 years now. All right. So, so right there, really simple. All your Office 365 data locations, bring it in and set a policy. So if you want to pick specific, right there, you've got all your Exchange, all your mailboxes there, all your SharePoint sites, all your OneDrive accounts, all Office 365 groups, everyone in Skype, public folders as well. Nobody can get rid of that, so public folders will be supported. Now, if you want to do specific users, again, you can go here, and you can say, I want to include these particular mailboxes, and you'll see that the names of all your users will appear. You can do the same with SharePoint. You can do the same with OneDrive. You can also do what is called everyone except. So if you've got a bunch of users in your organization, usually C-level people, for your CEO and CTO, you want to apply a different policy, you can do that. You basically say everyone except these 5 users, apply this policy. You can also do groups. We've never had support for groups as a first-class solution. Today, what you can do is go here and pick the group. Your groups will all show up. And if you select this group, you get the group mailbox and the group site covered by the retention policy. So you don't have to do 2 things in 2 places anymore. We know exactly what a group object is, and everything related to the group object will be protected. Yep. Yes, and I can talk to you more about that a little later. We do that through what is called templating. So if you've got groups of users or groups of groups, you can go say, for these set of users, you want to create a retention policy. Classifications is the answer for you. Yeah. So the short answer to your question is site classification. What that means is when you're creating the site, all you do is you say, hey, this is site with classification A. Now, when you say classification A, a bunch of things will follow. One of them, retention policy on the site. Something else, a sharing policy on a site. Whether you allow people to do multi-geo on the site. So all those things will follow as a result of the classification. So that's something we are building right now, and I can talk to you later about that. Today, we support it at the site collection level, but pretty soon we'll be going further down in granularity. Yes?
When's it coming out?
In a few months. That's as accurate as I can be. Yammer is an interesting one. Yammer is something that we are working on right now. As you know, there's a lot of re-architecture going on. We will make it work. But for now, the way Yammer is going to be supported is through the third-party archiving solution, the third-party solution that I mentioned. So if you use Globonet or Actions, those guys are going to help you bring the Yammer content in today. All right. So I showed you groups. You know, for now, I'm going to say I want to save data everywhere. I mean, I want to govern my data across 365. And then I have a policy that pretty much says I want to preserve it for 7 years, and then I want to delete it after. And that's pretty much it. That's what he said. What is retention? I want to preserve it for the 7 years from the based on when it was created. And then what do you want to do after that time's gone? I want to delete it. Really simple. Say that again. Got it. Yeah, no, it is gone. Sorry, the question was, when we say we deleted, do we actually mean it? That's pretty much it. The answer is yes. And just so you asked that question, our SLA for deletion is 7 days. What that means is if this document was supposed to be deleted today, I can guarantee you that within 7 days of today, that item will be gone. And it's across 365. It's in email, it's in SharePoint, OneDrive, groups, everywhere. Yes?
In the options tab, reserve content when created, is that created and imported in Office 365?
So we look at the actual created date of the document. I'll give you an example of email. So when you send an email, that's when you create it. When you receive an email, that's when it's created in your user mailbox. But if you're bringing it from a PST file, we know exactly when the original create date was, and that's what we'll be going over. But you also have this ability to say, I want to do it based on last modified. So that's an option as well. And we support that across 365. Now, there's a bunch of customers for whom what you said was retention, but then we also know that there are people using third-party archiving solutions with Office 365 as their collaboration solution. And for those people, getting rid of data in Office 365 minimizes risk. And so those people can come into the same flow and say, all I want to do is just get rid of data. Don't ask me any questions. I just want to get rid of data. And you can do the same thing over here as well. All right. Any more questions about the? Yes. I'll talk about that in a minute. All right. Yes. Can you say that again? The question was, does this require Azure Premium? No, this is Office 365. The answer to what SKU in Office 365 will let you know soon. It won't take a few months. It's in a few weeks. Not yet. Not yet. Yep.
Were you going to talk about preservation logs as well?
Yes, I will. Give me a second. So one of the things, thanks for that. It'll show up when I hit next. One of the things I do want to point out here is this is retention, and there is a concept called hold, which is very pertinent to e-discovery. The concept of hold is when you have a case, when there is an investigation going on, your governance solution needs to support a hold. And the hold takes precedence over what you said over here as your retention policy. So those two things are now two concepts. This is an archiving concept. Rocky will talk about the hold concept. And like I said, hold will trump over retention all the time. And usually the hold, in most cases, is an unlimited hold, which means it's going to, you know, till the case is done or case is resolved or the investigation's done. So if you have a retention policy that says preserve data for 6 years, but then you also have a hold and that item's coming up for deletion, the hold will ensure that that item does not get deleted. And again, this is across 365. All right. So I do want to preserve the data. I do want to delete it after 7 years. Now when I hit next, I get the lock feature. And this is what gives us the SEC 17A4 certification. What this means is if I decide to lock this policy right now, like this, the designers went to town with this. They were figuring out what image to use over there, and they found a gorilla. So, well, you're stuck. You're not coming back alive. So it is literally that. Once you set it, you cannot change it. You can try all you want. You can call Microsoft, but we have absolutely no power over this either. So this is truly a lock that cannot be broken. And so I would advise extreme caution while using this feature. We actually ask you this, and then we ask you again when you're actually creating the policy and you're hitting create. We say, are you sure again? And then they'll say, yes. And I say, no, are you really, really sure again? But please do. The policy itself. So you cannot change the policy, which means that if you've gone and set a policy on your, and again, this is very similar to your third-party archiving solution, right? I'd like to draw parallels. Because when you have a third-party archiving solution and then you put that lock, whatever data goes in there, it stays there for 7 years. You can't get rid of it. It's the same thing. Whatever data you create in 365 stays here for 7 years. You can't get rid of it. You will not be allowed to. Because we have the intelligence to know that you have a lock on a policy, and we will make sure that you know that, hey, you have a locked policy. You can't do a certain set of things because you have a locked policy. It again depends on what you had. So the question is, I mean, you're literally asking, how can I, you know, get around some of these locked things, right? Yeah. So talk to me later because I can give you all the details of this. Yes.
So if I'm a 7-year preservation lock, and I leave Microsoft.
Yes, we will keep the data. And like I said, because you also have the delete, the data will automatically be aged out. And at some point of time, from the time you left, we will get rid of all the data.
But do I have recourse to get that data after I left?
That's a great question. I can answer that question offline. Yep. Yes. Yeah, so the question was when, I apologize, so I get caught up. The question was, if you put a lock and then you decide to leave Microsoft, what happens to the data? I'll answer it offline. The short answer to that is we're still trying to figure that out. So it is something that we are building right now, but the easiest way to get the data out is through export. We know that export will help you get the data out, but some of the technical challenges around export are just if you have a lot of data. Export is built for e-discovery, right? Which means you're exporting data for a case or, you know, you've already trimmed down the data that you need to export. But if you want to get all of your data out, that's something that we're actively working on. All right. So I got scared. I don't want to be flown into space, so I don't want to do this. So I'm going to hit don't lock it. And then I can create the policy. Or I can save for it later. How much time do I have? OK, good. The save for it later is an interesting one because some of the things that we're going to be building on top of that save for it later is a what-if scenario. What that means is, what are the things that will happen if I apply this policy? If you've already have data that is, you know, 8 years old and 9 years old, when you go ahead create the policy, what's going to happen is those pieces of data are going to get deleted immediately. So you want to know what are the implications of actually creating this policy, and the save for later with the what if will help you do that. Some of the other things you know you'll notice is people use that for running reports and say, hey, we've got this much data sitting in these places. How do you want to handle this? You want to move some data out into a into a common site collection, for example. You've got some sites that haven't been used for a long time. Stuff like that will come out when you do the save for later with a what if. And we'll be doing a bunch of work around that as well. All right, I can now hit create the policy, or I can get out of it right now. All right, so I showed you the basic retention flow. Now, let me talk about records management. So over the past year, we've been working with some amazing customers who've been giving us a lot. Yes?
I have just one question. Okay, you showed two policies there.
That one, yes.
Okay, which is interesting. So that automatic gas question, you can have multiple policies.
Correct.
How do you make sure the policies are compatible?
That's a great question. So his question was, if you create a policy A and a policy B and a policy C, how do you make sure that the policies don't clash? We have a really simple, as long as you don't have lock, of course, and this is where it gets a little complicated. Longest preservation period wins, shortest deletion wins, explicit wins over implicit. Those are the three rules that we adhere to. And if you apply those three rules across how many of our policies you want, you'll find that you will never end up with a clash. And that's how we've tested this. I'm asking you to take my word for it. No, that's fair. Yeah.
Correct.
Fair enough. Yeah. So I'll repeat that. Say that again. So longest preservation wins, shortest deletion wins, explicit wins over implicit. And what I mean by that is, if I've picked a specific mailbox and said, I want to apply this policy, and you also have a policy for the entire organization, the explicit policy wins. And I'll give you an example of another explicit scenario pretty soon. So as I was talking about earlier, we've been working with some wonderful customers over the past 1 year who've helped us figure out what our information governance story is. And so what you see over here is what is our first attempt at classification from an Office 365 standpoint. So imagine that you are in a healthcare industry. Actually, I kind of confused those two. But imagine you're in a records management, an industry that requires records management. So we've got Joe Doe over here, who is our Microsoft records manager. He's got 120 categories today in Microsoft, and we're all supposed to actually categorize items according to the 120 categories that he sets. But there's no way to do it, no way for him to easily give us those classifications, and no way for us to easily apply those classifications. So the first step in that is to help you create these classifications. So what I do is I go add a simple classification. So I give it a name, I'll say test tag. And then I say the same concept. What happens to content that gets tagged with this classification? I can say for this long, same thing. What you saw earlier, 7 years, and get rid of it after this time, right? And you can create 120 of these categories. You can say preserve it for an unlimited amount of time. Preserve it for 7 years, 3 years, 30 years, delete it after, don't delete it after. But then what you're doing is you've created these classifications. Now, the equivalent concept in records management is they call it record categories. And then what you do is you publish these record categories as part of a file plan. What that means is you pick a group of users or a group of sites and say, hey, make these classifications available in these locations, so that my end users can actually classify this information. So I create these tags, right? And then the next step for me is to actually go publish these tags to my end users. And the way I do that, again, I go into retention. How many of you have used the Exchange retention policies and retention tags? All right. So for you guys, it should be a familiar concept. What we've done is taken what Exchange had originally as retention tag. We called it retention at that point, of course, but all it did was deletion, right? So now, if you notice, the tag that I created does both. It does the preservation and it does the deletion. Now, I'm going to go create a new policy, similar to what you guys saw earlier. So this is a tag policy. Next, I'll say in all my locations. And then I want to go publish these tags. So all I want to do is publish these tags to end users. I can go select the tags that I added from that library that I had earlier. So I can say test tag. I can add that. And then I can create the policy. And that's pretty much it. Now, what this is going to do is go publish these tags to all the locations that I mentioned earlier. Now, what does that look like in the clients? Let me show you first Outlook. So I go to Outlook. Now, this particular user is a user in that same org that I showed you earlier. I've got two emails over here. The same stuff that you used for your Exchange retention tags, now you get the same classifications that I created in the Security and Compliance Center. What this means is if I go pick this particular thing and say, this one over here, it's a new feature spec, so it's a spec. So this one pretty much now has a 15-year retention. You see that? So this will expire in 2031. Now, if I try to delete this, it's not going anywhere. We follow the same retention workflow, which is the data, if you try to delete it, goes to the recoverable items folder. And over there, you can't get rid of it. It's the same concept that we had in the old in-place hold, except now we can apply it at a document level, at an email level. So we've now got records management inside Outlook without having to do any third-party add-on to move it somewhere else. It is now truly in place. This is something that you can do a lot of other things. I mean, one more thing I'll just want to show you. You can say, you can create rules now. So I can go create a rule. And the rule pretty much says anything that contains, you know, you can do whatever you want. And then you go into advanced options. And then you say anything that matches that condition, go and apply this policy. And if you notice, you can go here, same things appear. So now you can create rules for things that match a certain criteria, and all of those will now be marked as records within Outlook. So now you have records management in email. You can use the same categories that you use there to show up in Outlook. So that's Outlook. I'm going to show you OWA. Same thing works the same way in OWA as well. So we've built support into OWA. So you go here, assign policy. Again, you see the same things, right? Any questions? Yes. Yes. Today you can. We'll soon be building a way for you to actually, as an admin, say once set cannot be unset. Now, before you guys ask these questions, I do want to show you something cool. Because, like I said, the policy that I created, it was Exchange, but it was also all these other things, right? You've got OneDrive, SharePoint, groups. What does that look like? This is a group. And if you notice over here, group sites are pretty much SharePoint sites. So you'll have to believe me when I say this works in SharePoint as well. But in any SharePoint site, again, go here, look at that. The same classifications that you saw in Outlook now show up here as well, across Exchange and SharePoint. Not just that, you go to OneDrive, same thing. Similar experience, select that particular thing. Ta-da. Yeah. We're really, really excited about this. Because now you have, as a records manager, you can go to one place, manage all your classifications, And across Office 365, all your end users will now have the same classification ability. And all they need to do is just apply the classification, and the rest of the retention actions will automatically follow. We're also going to be building this classification in the Word, Excel, PowerPoint clients. It's already available in, again, when I say already available, it will be available when this goes GA. In the Outlook Online, the Word Online, PowerPoint Online, and Excel Online web apps as well. So across all your clients in Office 365, you have one classification experience. Questions? Yes. Tony, you can start. So this, it's a great segue. So if you notice, we're not calling the retention tags classifications. These are classifications. I've given you one example of what it does, and that one example is retention. But we're going to be extending this to do more than just retention.
Okay.
Yep. Fair enough. Great question. Great question.
Okay,
yep.
It applies labels to documents out of
the box. Yep.
So how does this play with Azure information?
Great question. So the answer is it will be yes. So what he's talking about is if you've attended the Azure Information Protection session earlier, Azure Information Protection introduced a new concept called classifications again. And the thing that their classification does is when you go apply the classification, a set of protection actions follow. And that's where I'm going with this. And the protection action is it won't let you share. If you've applied this classification, you call it confidential, it won't let you share. The short answer to your question, that's one example of a of an action that Azure Information Protection gives you. Correct. And as a result of the template, what happens from an end user standpoint is you can't share it. Or you know, it has a watermark on it, right? We are working with the Azure Information Protection team. If you are an Office 365 customer, wherever you create, you go create that in Azure, it will show up in 365 Security and Compliance Center. So we will work together to make sure that the experience is seamless for you. The classification that I just showed you is an extensible platform, which means today it does retention actions. It's also going to be able to do all the things that Azure Information Protection classifications can do. Does that answer your question?
So let me get this straight.
Yes.
Today, a customer might have a set of retention policies and retention
types. Yep.
They are taken over into this new world where
they
become classifications.
Yep. Yep.
You're saying that in tomorrow's world, the new classifications will have the ability to not only do retention action, but also will have, a protection.
That is absolutely right. You got it. So just to repeat what Tony just said, the classification that I showed you, today it does, or yesterday, all it did was a deletion action. What I showed you over here, it does a preserve and a delete action. We are also going to make it do other actions, protection actions. Some of the examples are a watermark. You know, sometimes you go apply something as a confidential document, you get watermarked documents. You get a do not share because of a template that's applied on that particular classification. So if you notice right there, that's the clue, actually. It's called clear the protection tag. That was our intent. Just so you know, that's where we're going. Yes?
Will this be replacing the change retention policies and retention tags?
So the question is, will this replace exchange retention and protection tags? The answer is they both work together. So if you've got exchange retention tags already, these will show up next to those retention tags that you have in exchange. So at some point of time, you can say, we will give you an ability to transfer both the configuration and the content itself can be actually re-stamped based on the new tags that have been created. How many of you know what MRM 1.0 is? All right, Julian knows. MRM 1.0 is manage folders. How much time do I have?
You're making an announcement that manage folders is coming back.
No, my God, no. I think I have 20 minutes, right? Yeah, it's a lot of time. So manage folders, when we deprecated manage folders and we announced the new retention tags, we gave you a bunch of scripts that said, hey, take all these manage folders, put it into this black box, and we will output a bunch of retention tags for you. And we'll do the same thing over here. And this applies to all the people who are using content types in SharePoint, for example. Today, content types are being used for retention and records management. Using the information management policies, you can say for anything that matches this content type, apply a 7-year deletion policy. That's what it does. What we will give you is take all those content types, put it into this black box, and we will output a set of classifications for you, right? We will be providing all of that as part of the launch as well. Yes?
So it's a collaborative environment.
Yep.
Multiple site owners people that can write to this environment. You're telling me that tag can be applied one time and not reverse?
It's up to you. Today, when we launch it, that's not the case. We will give you, however, the ability to say, and this is a problem that exists today, in any collaborative environment. When collaboration and compliance, they meet, there are going to be some hard edges. So we can do the best thing that we can do is give you the ability to say, hey, do you want to do that or not? And you make the decision.
Can you
audit against that? Of course, yes. All these actions, so if I go, pick press materials or whatever this is, new product, every action that the user does over here is audited. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Great question. Let me show you this. All right. So, yes, so the question was, can you apply this at the library level? I'm in OneDrive, that's why. All right, so let me go to the site library settings. I'll show you what that looks like. So again, this is being built right now. It's got a bunch of rough edges, but the concept over here is you can go set the default for any document library. Say I want to go set this for competitive research, and then you can also say apply it to the existing items or not. So that's an option as well. We'll make it pretty soon. Yes. Yes.
I'm a bit confused as to how you deal with account creation over time. So let's say John Doe was a 3 years, he no longer called me his account.
I can answer that question a little bit later because it's not really relevant to this particular discussion, if you don't mind. Apologize. It's what we're talking about here is a specific thing about classifications. I can definitely answer your question later on about user lifecycle. Yep. Yes. So. This is where Tony's earlier question with, it's okay, we've got time. Earlier question about where Azure Information Protection comes in. Their USP is down-level clients. Their USP is non-office clients. And they do a great job of helping classify information in those non-office clients and office clients that we no longer support. So that's why, this is a great partnership between us. Between us, we hope to cover all the clients that we can. If that makes sense. Yep. All right. So the last part of the demo is something that I'm really excited about. This is what we call integration with true classification. So did I show you everything? Yes, I did. Today, if you are an organization and you're working on, forms, you're working on, contracts, real estate contracts, people sending invoices up and down. You expect people to actually go and stamp these individually. We know that people aren't going to be doing that effectively. We've got research that points out to only 25% of users actually go classify, and those people have to be really trained to do it, and sometimes they don't do it right. What I showed you earlier is the first step in Microsoft Office classification. The second part of that is using what technology we have today to identify information. How many of you know what DLP sensitive types are? Okay. So an example of a DLP sensitive type is you can create a policy that says, if I have credit card information in my document and I send that outside, don't let them do it. And the way we identify that is we look for patterns in the documents, and we say, hey, this matches a credit card pattern, so don't send it out. Now, we also have this concept of what is called a document fingerprint in DLP. How many of you know what that is? Okay, it's a fancy word for saying, find all documents that look like this and do something with it, right? Now, imagine a person in your organization, he does invoices. Another person in your organization, she does contracts. Most of the stuff follows a certain well-defined template. Now, all you have to do is go into Office 365, create this document template, and then say, anything that matches this template, apply this retention policy, or apply this classification. And as a result of applying this classification, all the things that Tony mentioned earlier, your retention, your protection, all of those will follow, and that's all you need to do. You don't have to actually depend on end users to go click every item and do everything manually. So let me show you what that looks like. Setting up the policy itself is, again, really simple, really straightforward. Test policy again. You can say, I want to do this in all my Office 365 content. And then you go to advanced retention and then say anything that matches the following sensitive types. And if you see over here, some of the sensitive types that actually make sense, I'll give you a couple of examples are what I call the international classification of diseases, for example. This one right here, if you're in the healthcare industry, you know that medical records are being sent back and forth. You don't want any of those records to leave the organization first, but you also want to make sure you're complying with the regulations in your state, in your country. And this is a really simple way to identify those HIPAA records. So we look at the international classification of diseases. If we find any of these examples in emails, in documents, we automatically go apply a classification on it. And as a result of that, the document will be protected, and it will be retained for the required retention period. So I'll give you an example of what that looks like. Again, so the funniest thing happened, I have to tell you guys this. What day is it today? Tuesday. Every Tuesday, we have what is called all the devs come together, they test features of other devs. And today, the meeting was at 11, and they added this tenant in the dev bug bash. So they've been scrambling to make it work because they deleted all the policies. So I hope it works. If it doesn't, I apologize. All right, let's see. Inbox. All right, so if you see here, I don't think it's working, so I have a clue. So if you look at this, I sent this email earlier at 2 p.m., 2:45 p.m. The first two times I sent it, it didn't work, but the third time it did. What you see here is a sample medical record. And if you look at this, what it has is patient information. It's got a bunch of medicine names in it. It's got a bunch of disease names in it. And we know based on that, okay, this is a medical record and needs to be protected for 6 years. And so if you see the email, that's what it says. The email itself will say, hey, this has a policy on it. It's a medical record, expires in 2023. And if you try to delete it, you can't get rid of it. The same thing again, it should have worked. What we have over here is a really simple W-2 document. Again, well-known format. We'll be making these available out of the box. So anybody tries to you know, move documents around in your organization, instantly we will know that it is a tax document, and we will automatically apply a policy as part of the fact that we know it is a tax document. I don't believe so. Not yet, but thanks for raising that. We'll, maybe it does. I'll have to check. Yeah. The question was, in OneDrive, people share links. Will we know based on the link itself that this is the policy that needs to be applied? I don't know the answer, but we'll find out and let you know. All right. The main reason I'm still putting this up on the screen is because, again, today we know 25% of the data actually gets classified. We believe that this is the first step in covering more data that needs to be classified as part of retention, as part of governance, and we'll be making more investments in this based on our intelligent platform over the coming few months, and you should be looking out for more announcements from Microsoft. All right.
Question?
Yes. Correct. Yes. Yeah. So, no. So, what he basically mentioned was tenant-specific digital fingerprints. What that means is, as a tenant, you can go upload a document and say this matches this particular fingerprint. It works only on that tenant, and so you can pretty much do all the forms in your organization for which you know this is the retention period. You can go and apply these digital fingerprints to the retention policy. It will show up in the sensitive types list, and then all you gotta do is pick it and say, apply this retention policy. Really simple, really straightforward. The last thing I wanna show you, how much time? 8 minutes. The last thing I wanna show you is query-based. This is something that we've had before, but one of the things you've been noticing, you know, we have this concept of hashtags. We've got people applying other types of metadata on documents in SharePoint and OneDrive and Exchange. So all of those things you can cover through retention as well. What that means is if you've already got a bunch of classifications going on, how do you utilize that to move to this new classification mechanism that is more powerful, that does governance, that does protection? This is your answer. You basically go here and say, create a query that matches these particular things. So you say, anything that has hashtag confidential or anything that has hashtag don't share anywhere or, I don't know, Satya's demo, apply this retention policy on it, right? Apply this classification on it. So we believe that between these things and the investments that we're making in the future, we have a really, really strong Office 365 data governance solution. And like I said, it's only going to get better because of the intelligence that we have in the cloud. So I'm gonna jump back into the presentation. Let's see, demo. Did all this. Yes, done. All right, next steps for you guys over here. The first thing I want you to do is join the preview program. So people have been asking me, when is this going to get released? As you saw, most of the bits are today in production, except that we control the flighting. What that means is we have a way of launching these features to a certain set of tenants first, and then we will launch it worldwide. So if you're interested in trying these things out, please join the preview. And Jennifer over here, she's the one who can help you with joining the preview. All right, the second thing, try the Compliance Center, because there are lots of things that you will discover over there that if you come in with the, I'm just gonna do retention, you will actually discover a lot of more things that exist that you might be interested in. How we integrate with DLP, how alerts work, how auditing works, reports that you can get. As a records manager, you can go in and get a bunch of reports. All that is available in the Security and Compliance Center. Your content search, again, you can do stuff like anything that matches this record, bring it in. Talking about records management, one last thing that I want to mention. We will be supporting event-based records management, and we will be supporting manual review and disposition as well. So all the records management features that you need for you to go to your CTO and say, hey, we think it is good enough that we can actually move to an Office 365 compliant solution, we will be providing you all of those. And then finally, give us feedback. Again, the preview program has a way for you to go try the features and give us feedback. We really appreciate everything that you guys provide. And again, give me feedback on my session as well. So just to summarize the things we talked about, importing your data, retaining the data you need, deleting the data you don't, and then classification. So these are all the related sessions that we have. So we've got e-discovery, like I mentioned, Rocky's doing. We've got the DLP session, auditing that Binyan's doing. We also have threat protection, which is a really, really cool concept you guys should go see if you are interested in governance. And Julian, Raman, and I, we will be at the Office 365 booth. It's really hard to find. You have to look for security and go behind it. It's impossible to find, actually. Yeah. So look for security, go behind it. We'll be standing there. I'm here Wednesday and Thursday. Those are the times. And those are our email addresses. All three of us, we work on compliance and governance. So shoot us an email. It'll be really cool. Any more questions? Last question.
So currently, we have a retention policy in Exchange, and we've noticed that when we assign policy, the user...
Actually, if you don't mind, I think people are leaving. Thank you very much for coming. Hope you found this useful. Thank you. You can ask me today.